Evan Gottesman, National Interest. I have a question for Dr. Black, but also for the whole panel. You mentioned that Russia wants the United States and Europe to recognize its sort of privileged zone of interest, as they like to call it. But going back both administrations, in 2008, NATO blocked Georgia's membership before the war in NATO, and Russia now has the right to veto foreign-based deployments in Central Asia via CSTO, so you can't have what we did in Afghanistan or what NATO, France and Germany did in Afghanistan happen again. And then you have the Astrakhan summit last year, where Russia got all the Caspian littoral states to agree that they wouldn't have any outside military presence there, and the United States hasn't protested that. So isn't that tacit acceptance of their zone of influence? And if so, what more do they want? What are they looking for? Are they looking for a document where we say this is the Russian Empire and hand it back to them? What exactly do the Russians seek to get out of this situation?
Well, the first thing the Russians want, if I could quote Aretha Franklin, is respect. Because they think that we don't take them seriously, that we refuse to accept their sphere of influence, and they don't see that as enough. They see us as trying to undermine them in Ukraine and elsewhere as well. And you have to understand the mentality of the people you're dealing with. Now, I'm not sure that the states that went to Astrakhan all agree that the Caspian, that the Russians should have a veto over foreign bases there. But the fact of the matter is, we have not been insistent enough about our interests in these areas without going to war. Uzbekistan left the CSTO precisely because of this. And there are German bases and French bases in Central Asia. So there's nothing precluding sovereign states from saying, I want to invite country X to have a foreign base. The point is, country X has to have some sort of idea what it's doing in this country, and what the base is for, and what its strategic objectives are. And our whole Central Asian policy under President Obama has been connected to Afghanistan. The Silk Road project, and it was essentially a bureaucratic contrivance. They took together a whole bunch of programs, and those of us who have worked in government know how this goes. And they said, oh, here's the Silk Road. No money was spent. The two programs they keep talking about, one has, it was about to open, the CASA 1000 may have just opened. TAPI, if you know, the pipeline from Turkmenistan to Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, if it's built during my grandchildren, and my kids don't have any children, if it's built by the time my grandchildren get married, I would be surprised. Or if it's built by us, it will be built probably by China at the rate things are going. And when we get up and say the Chinese are doing good things in Central Asia, that indicates that we're not serious.
And just one brief follow-up point to your point of the U.S. base in Manas in Kyrgyzstan is an interesting example. And you presented a bit that the Russians essentially approved that base and they had the right to veto it. But I think at the time that the base was established after 2001, Russia more or less sort of just didn't object. They more consented to it. But you'll remember even during the reset policy in 2009, 2010, Dmitry Medvedev tried ardently to convince the Kyrgyz government to end the U.S. Presence at Manas and ultimately failed. So I think they have, a lot of those countries, as Steve mentioned, do have more independence for those types of decisions than is often perceived.
And the Russian demand, to get back to your original question, it's not just no military bases there. It's, you know, no, don't offer them membership in NATO. Now EU membership is under question. It's don't support democracy promotions from NGOs, because that's a form of subversion. It's formal recognition. I mean, things that just we can't get them. So, you know, there's never going to be something like that.